الحمد لله الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهدي الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلله فلا هادي له ونشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له ونشهد أن سيدنا وسندنا ومولانا محمدا عبده ورسوله صلى الله عليه وعلى آله وأصحابه وبارك وسلم تسليما كثيرا كثيرا أما بعد فقد قال الله تبارك وتعالى وما محمد إلا رسول قد خلت من قبله الرسل أفإن مات أو قتل انقلبتم على أعقابكم ومن ينقلب على عقبيه فلن يضر الله شيئا وسيجزي الله الشاكرين صدق الله العظيم.
My respected brothers and elders, when Rasul Pak sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had left this world, it was a moment of total despondency, disarray. Great Sahaba like Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Usman radiallahu anhu, Hazrat Ali radiallahu anhu could not contain the grief. Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu went to the extent of saying, if anybody says that Nabi Sassan has passed on, then I will cut off his head. The only person that had the full composure in spite of the greatest grief was Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu. He was the man of the occasion and he brought some type of composure, understanding to the rest of the Sahaba Kiram. And in his address he had mentioned, مَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يَعْبُدُ مُحَمَّدًا فَإِنَّ مُحَمَّدًا قَدْ مَاتْ وَمَنْ كَانَ مِنْكُمْ يَعْبُدُ اللَّهِ فَإِنَّ اللَّهَ حَيٌّ لَا يَمُوتْ. Those who worshipped Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, they should understand Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is gone from this world. He is not to return. But those who worshipped Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then Allah ta'ala is eternal. There is no such a thing like death for him. He's always. And then we see Hazrat Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu comes into the scene and he takes total control over the situation. And with such perfection and precision he takes control over the situation that Hazrat Umar radiallahu anhu, as magnificent as he was, but he says, alas, I could have only had that one day of Hazrat Abu Bakr, the day that people had turned apostate and turned away from Islam, and he brought total control. So in this world we have it that anybody leaves the world, then Allah Ta'ala has got someone to replace. There won't be a vacuum. Inna nahnu nazzalna dhikr wa inna lahu lahafizun. And Allah Pak says that it is his reassurance and his guarantee that he's going to take care and he will take care. That we do not have to worry about, that will this be guarded and secured and protected or not. It will be guarded. Although the one that is coming, the vicegerent or the deputy, may not be at the same level as the original. You cannot say that, na'uzu billah, Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu was anywhere near to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. You cannot say that. No one, not even a Nabi was near to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. His maqam and his position was so great But all the Anbiya alayhi salam put together, they can't be near Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. So Abu Bakr radiallahu anhu, how can he ever be the closest? He can't be. But Allah Ta'ala will not allow there to be a vacuum. There'll be something to fill in, someone to fill in. This is the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. إِذَا أَرَادَ شَيْئًا هَيَّأَ لَهُ أَسْبَابٌ. When he wants something to happen, that he will make the arrangements for it. How he will make it happen, he will make it happen. So there's two things that we need to remember. One is that there won't be a vacuum. And the second is then, what do we do? If we were connected to a certain buzurg, to a certain great luminary, and now he goes on, he passes on, then what do we do? A similar situation had come about in India with the demise of Hazrat Maulana Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. And several people had written up to Hazrat Shaykh al-Hadith, Maulana Muhammad Zakariya Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, that Maulana Yusuf, that is his son, has come into his place. But he isn't like Maulana Muhammad Ilyas. We don't see the same color. We don't see the same person in him. And Hazrat Shaykh Rahmatullah's reply was that the person that we have now, appreciate him. You will never get a person that is equal exactly in every respect to Muhammad Ilyas Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh. But whoever has come to replace him, whoever has come in his place, respect him, appreciate him. Kyun? Uske baad aise bhi nahi milenge. That after him, you won't even find a person that is equivalent to him. So the one that is taken on after him, then appreciate him, respect him, and hold on to him. Now, this is where many of us go off. We don't see the person like we had seen. And we make it a point of stress. We stress over it. But we don't realize that we are doing damage to ourselves. The idea is that we carry on, we continue. We understood the lesson, the theme of the life. So we hold on to the theme, and whoever's taken control after him, then we move on with him. There may be some areas that we're not too clear about. All right, we're not too clear about. But overall, the theme of the man's life we understood. Hazrat Ji Maulana Masihullah Sahib Rahmatullah Alayh, he had passed on. And I had seen some people. Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah had certain things. Outwardly, you would see that he will never sit cross-legged. Though it is not permissible, but he will never sit cross-legged. And number two, you will never find him stretching his feet while he's asleep. His feet will always be folded. I have traveled, alhamdulillah, and have seen his feet is never folded. So now, some people began to imitate these two things. That he sits like this, he wears a certain type of a topi. And number three is he never sleeps with his legs stretched out. So I cautioned them. I said, see, Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah had a certain theme in his life. There were three main themes in his life. You see, are you conforming to that theme or not? These are the extras. But what was the theme of the man's life? The theme of Hazrat Ali Rahmatullah's life was that he will not hurt anything, not even an animal. I would see him sometimes, we are accompanying him to the masjid, and on the road now, that's the road, public road, and there is a dog sitting there. He will not chase it out, and he will say, that like we have a right to be on the road, that thing has also got a right. We don't have a greater right than this animal here, and he will take another path and he'll go to the masjid, not disturbing it in the least. So this was one theme of his life. He will not disturb, he will not hurt, no matter what. No matter what happens to him, but he will not disturb. Even if he has to say something to some person, then he will be very cautious of how he says it. Up till the end, when his respected family had become ill and passed away in his lifetime, he respected her like the first day that he got married. Now that's a difficult thing, very difficult. You know, you have the ups and the downs of marriage. But right in his advanced age, she was, her health has deteriorated, everything had gone in her. Then too, you would call her Dulhan, bride, my bride. See? How many of us have That type of heart to say the wife, my bride. We speak to our friends and we say, my old lady. Don't we do that? Now what she feels, well, I'm just passing time now. My youth is gone, my attraction is gone. Now I'm an old lady, I'm a hag now. I don't have any real appreciation in this man's eyes. So how does she take it? She may not say it, she may not express her feelings. But deep down within her, how does she feel? That she had given all her youth to this man here. All her respect to this man. She had given and dedicated her health to this man. Now that she's given everything, and she's given him the children that he wanted, and she's given his her health. Now when she's in this position, this is the appreciation, and this is the acknowledgement that she receives. How does she feel? Here, even verbally, he will not use words that will hurt. Man was so thoughtful, so considerate. So this was one theme in his life. The second theme in his life is part of the first theme, Gussa Pasnaya. That don't let yourself be consumed with anger. I tell people, you know, he would say, like he mentioned this to Hazrat Munshi Sahib from Inanda. He says, Gusse ka kya hal hai? He asked him, because Hazrat Munshi Sahib was his murid. So he asked him, Gusse ka kya hal hai? Says, Khuda ka fazl hai, ki aap janab ki barkat se, Gusse ka izhar hota hai, Gusse ka zuhur nahi hota. He says, Alhamdulillah, with the grace of Allah Ta'ala and your barkat and your teaching, that I pretend to be angry, but really I'm not angry. Sometimes, to bring about a control to a situation, then I need to pretend to be angry. Now just to explain this, these type of things are very subtle things. So until it's not elucidated, then you can't understand, you won't grasp the full thing. Hakim Sahib, may Allah Ta'ala grant him sihat. So he had explained, and he was addressing me once. So he says, the cause of that discussion, advice is given me, says me, that one sheikh had gone to one town. So one big python came, and the python says that I also want to enlist myself amongst your murids. So he accepted him for bayat. And amongst the things that he had prompted him to say is, kisi ko takleef nahi pahunchana. That you don't hurt anybody. Anyway, the sheikh came after 2-3 years, came back the same way. He saw that python got some gash here, some knock here, some dent here, and injured, right through the body is injured. But kya ho gaya, what happened? So I said, you told me you mustn't hurt anybody. So there's children that walk on the street, they see I'm not hurting anybody. Someone is throwing a stone, someone is interfering, someone is hurting me and injuring me. So the buzurg told the snake, see, maine kaha ki kisi ko takleef na pahunchaye, maine ye nahi kaha tha ki phunkar na kare. I told you not to hurt anybody, but I didn't tell you to just scare them off. So to bring about a control into a situation, then you have to pretend to be angry, but you're not consumed with anger. One is you're consumed with anger. When you're consumed with anger, then you know what you are doing. You are saying something, you are doing something, and you are out of control. But when you pretend to be angry, then you are not consumed with anger. You are fully in your control. Your composure is still maintained. Just to get some things right, you are showing, you are expressing a little bit of anger. So this is the second theme of Hazrat Rahmatullah's life. Right? And the third theme of his life was his trouser was always above his ankle. So there were 3-4 themes of his life. Now I explain some of his muridin. You see, this was the theme of his life. And in every zamana, according to the zamana, the buzuganadin that are present at that time, they would have a certain theme. In the Sahaba-i-Kiram's time, there was a certain theme, striving for the sake of Islam, preservation and propagation of Islam. That became the order of the day. Then with passage of time, and there are different themes. Right? So the buzuganadin, the mashayikh of that era and that zamana, they had seen what was the need of people. What do they require? What is the deen in need? What will sustain their deen? They investigated that and they worked on that. They felt, well, this is what we need to work on. Right. So I explained to them, see, what's going on presently, one, two of my friends, I told them, that what you are doing, you are wearing Hazrat Ji Rahmatullah's topi, and you are sitting not cross-legged, and you got your trouser right, but is your gussa and your anger in control or not? You're losing yourself. That was the theme of his life. Not causing any takleef to anybody. That was the theme of his life. Now you forgot all that. The only thing that you have preserved is his topi, his trouser, and his seating. He's seating and he's not crossing his legs, or not folding the legs, wasn't for a reason. The reason was, when you asked him personally, he says, "Koi badshah ke huzoor mein pair phailata bhi hai." If you got, for example, you got Mr. Mandela coming in here, right? Or you got the King of Saudi Arabia coming here. Will you lie down flat on the ground, show him no acknowledgement, no recognition at all? He will jump up. We'll all jump up. Won't we jump up? Now, Hazrat Ramtala, his consciousness and the recognition of Allah Ta'ala was so great, as though he saw Allah Ta'ala at every moment. He's seeing the king all the time. So how was it ever possible for him to stretch his feet out? Now that was because of the consciousness, the awareness of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Are you there anyway? So you've only seen one dimension of his life. You haven't seen and studied what was the theme. This was the actual theme. This was the extra in his life. Now you've taken the extra and you left the real theme of the life. So I said, isn't it a betrayal of the personality? So Hazrat Mawlana Zakariya Sahib rahmatullah alayhi, he explained to those people that used to raise objections, you see, you got this personality, Hazrat Mawlana Yusuf rahmatullah alayhi. Unke baad aise bhi nahi milenge. Inki qadar karo. After him, you won't find a person at that level. So who is around now presently, then you hold firmly to him. Don't say, Yusuf Ji Sahib to mine milega nahi. Sometimes man's wife has died and he's got the second wife. And constantly, he constantly will discuss the first wife. Oti or oti. She was something, man. She was something. Now what the second wife, what she feels? I'm nothing now. Leto kachra, me kuch nahi. What she feels? Or you got the feeling, that feeling, respect the feeling, but don't express it so much as though she doesn't mean anything in your life. She is also important. She's given her life to you. She's given her health to you. She's dedicated herself to you. So you appreciate, respect her. What I was getting at, this whole system, the control of the system is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I don't know why, as I come to this masjid, as I was just walking in, thinking what to talk on. And these type of things just came to my mind, I should be speaking on this. Maybe because of the barakah of the people that are around here, and the ikhlas, these type of subjects came into my mind. I had no intention, absolutely no intention to speak on this. I wanted to speak something else. Hazrat Rahmatullah had mentioned an incident. One king was on the throes of death. So as he's about dying, some of the ministers and advisors, they really worried now, what's going to happen? Who's going to fill in? Who's going to be replacing? He's got no son. He's got no successor. There's no successor to the throne. Who's going to fill in for him? So the king himself was Allah wala. He was a godly person. So the king says, don't worry. When I die, after you have buried me, then the following morning, the first person that goes past the kingdom, you bring him and appoint him to the throne. You assign him to the throne. Well, that was the king's wasiyat. King died. Mar jane ke baad, after he died, so the king's bequest was the first person that passes the kingdom, he must be appointed to the throne. So they're looking around. Man died now what do we do? Thing needs to continue. Otherwise there is total disarray, there is no administration, there is no system here. So they go and they find one person, he's got a stack of hay on his head. Like a villager, real villager, stack of hay on his head, and he's going through. So somehow they bundle him up. So what are you doing? He's getting frightened, he's panicking. What are you doing? I didn't commit any crime, but I'm innocent. So you see the police and the security are taking him. So no, we don't mean to hurt you in anything, in any way. But what? I didn't do anything wrong. Then they put him into the bath, they wash him, scrub him down nicely. But what is all this about? You're punishing me with this hot water. What are you doing? Then they put the royal robes over him. And then they place him onto the throne. Now the kings in the old days, what used to happen, they used to have a public audience. Every day they have a public audience. If anybody's got any grievance, any complaint, then he directs the complaint to the king. What's the problem? So anyway, the king had his session. And at the end of the session, the royal protocol is that two ministers, the main ministers will be to the right and the left, right next to him. So he supports himself on their shoulders and he gets up. Oh, they are really excited about this. They overcome. They are really excited. So there is a way to address the king. You address the king not in any way. You address him, Badshah Salamat. Jaan Bakhshi Jaye. Says, your respected sir, your respected self, may I be spared. This is how you start off the address. And then he's asking him, you know, up till yesterday, you were carrying a stack of hay on your head, right? And you were supporting it, going, traveling, as you say, for another 3 kilometers, on a big stack of hay. And today, you couldn't pick up yourself without the support of two people. What is this? His ministers know that this is royal protocol, but they want to see now what happened to this person. So he says, you see, up till yesterday, I had my own burden to carry only. Now I have the burden of the entire country, entire public. So how can I manage it without you people? So inki himmat afzai bhi ho gayi. He's encouraged them also. See, I need you people. I need your support, your opinions, your suggestions, etc. I need that. Without that, I can't function. They say, Khuda jab kisi ko husn bakhshta hai, to nazakat aayi jati hai. When Allah Ta'ala gives someone beauty, then that subtle things, you know, that very that sensitivity, etc., just comes in itself. That sensitivity comes in itself. So Allah Ta'ala makes the arrangements. When He wants some work to be done, then He will prepare the person. But our duty is then we hold firm to the person. Then we don't say, now, it's not like the original. Right? The original is the original. You won't find the original coming back. But then whoever you have got, now you hold on firm to him. Don't turn away. Hold on firm to him. Even if it is, there may be some things that you're not very clear about. With time, you will begin to understand things. It takes time, and time unravels all the mysteries. Everything happens. Provided there is sincerity, there is ikhlas, and provided the personality is connected to the right silsila. So he himself may not be as great. But when you connect yourself to the right silsila, you can see now above all the right mashayikh, then definitely you derive the benefit of the silsila. And that takes you on. This is the silsila. This is where we're coming from. There's so much mashayikh and busulganadin and great people in the same chain. So you will definitely derive the benefit of the chain. Though the personality himself may not be as identical like his predecessor, but you will derive that benefit. Allah Ta'ala grant us the tawfiq to understand. This was something that just came to my mind. You know? And as I walked in the masjid and thinking what to talk about, so many people had the blessings of such great, great personalities. And then person like me, totally incapable. And then you place me in that position. So I'm like that person who's carrying that stack of hay. Maybe through Yobur's Bargat, I'm saying these words, whatever words I'm saying. There was a great buzurg, Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi. Right. He is the contemporary of Hazrat Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi. Right. All of us may hear of Sayyid Abdul Qadir Jilani Rahmatullahi, but very seldom do we hear about Sayyid Ahmad Rifai Rahmatullahi. But just to put you in perspective, the man's position, what the position of the man was, just one, two incidents. One of his disciples, one of his students asked him, Hazrat, what's your maqam, what's your position in the sight of Allah Ta'ala? Are you an abdal? So he says, Nazih shaykhaka anil abdaliyati. Consider your shaykh to be even above. So then he asks, alright, are you a kutub then? He says, nazzih shaykhaka anil kutubiyati. Consider your shaykh to be above. Other than what's your maqam? What's your position? What's your position? You see, I'll just digress as the thoughts come to my mind. I'll just digress. Because ye to dawakhana hai. It's a surgery, you see. It's a surgery. And perhaps the dispensary requires to offer what the patients require. It's not to excite the talk and excite the audience. Rather, to give what the audience really require, what they need. One person was aged all his life. He was stealing, robbing, whatever else. And he became aged. Furthermore, Rashid Ahmad Gangohi Sahib has mentioned this incident. He became aged. And now he's asking all his fellow satis, people that were robbing with him, "Boy, now I'm aged now. I don't have the strength to do what I used to do when I was young. But life needs to continue. What do I do?" So they made mashwara, everything. And they came to a conclusion. So the best thing is, you go in one corner and say, "Allah, Allah." Because after a few days, some people will join you. Roti kapre makan ka masla toh ho jayega. You go see Allah, Allah. Just isolate yourself. You'll see some people from here, they all over, will come and join up with you. They also make Allah, Allah. At least, roti ka masla hal ho jayega. You know, your things will carry on. Your fires will keep burning, you see. So, you know, it's an excellent idea, he went. He started off. And really, like how this person, one of his satis had suggested, things started working out for him. So one day, whilst they in the muraqabah and zikr, whatever else, they think to themselves privately, okay, let's make muraqabah and ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, what is our position? You know, so long we are here making zikr, 100,000, 200,000 times zikr daily we are doing now. So what is our position? What's our position? So they ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and each of his murid is shown, alright, this is your maqam, this is your position, this is your position. Because all types of people had come, when they heard about him, people from different corners of the earth come to him. Now, then they thinking to themselves, okay, when this is our maqam, if he's so high, what is the position of our shaykh? Now they make dua, they can't see now, nothing is featuring. On the screen there's nothing coming up. So they said, "Yeto wara'ul wara'," he is beyond our imagination, he's gone. Anyway, everything happened. At the end, they said, "Well, let's take the initiative to ask the sheikh himself, okay, what's your maqam? What's your position?" So that gathering of Allah Allah left that impression in the man's heart. This gathering where Allah Allah is taking place, where Allah Ta'ala's name is taking place, Abu Buzugaruddin says, ye asar kiye baghair nahi rehta. No matter how you take the name of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, sometimes this is our naivety. No more, I don't have the concentration on zikr. What's the good of making zikr? By do the zikr. Do the zikr, even though there isn't the concentration. The very fact that you are taking the name of Allah ta'ala is indicative, is indication and proof that Allah Pak loves you. One person said to Hadith Sahib Rahmatullah Ali, you know, I had made i'tikaf in Taif somewhere, and every day I was doing 125,000 zikr. But I feel you are disappointed with me, so I don't have the real love of Allah Ta'ala. That's Hadi Imdadullah Sahib Rahmatullah, now he's the Sayyidu Taifa. He is now the whole driver of this whole kafla of awliya-i-kiram. All the awliya that we know, he is the driver, he's driving them across. Now his answer, look at his answer. He says, agar main tumhare se naraz hota, to ek dafa Allah Allah karne ki taufeeq nahi milti. Had I been disappointed with you, you wouldn't have said Allah Ta'ala's name once. The fact you are taking is, it's proof enough that Allah Pak loves you. Why must we inflict a wound upon ourselves? Why should we inflict injury? Allah Pak is loving us, He's allowing us to take His name. Isn't that proof enough that Allah Ta'ala loves us? It's proof enough. It's indication that Allah Ta'ala loves us. Therefore He's calling us to His home. Otherwise He wouldn't have called us. So we're talking about this robber, whatever. So he cried. Because that Allah, Allah, that gathering that he was taking, that he was living in, they were making zikr in the morning, in the evening, all the time. That's the whole theme of their life. Sincerity, Allah, taking the name of Allah, that was the theme of their lives. So that left a mark in his heart. That brought about sincerity in his heart. That brought some direction in his heart. Though he was, at the beginning he was wrong. But when he kept on taking the name, then the dust that was there, the cloudiness that was there, that fog that was there, the dirt and the muck that was there, all got wiped out and he cleared up. So when he cleared up, now when they asked him, what's your position? He began to cry. He wept and went on weeping. And he said, really, this was my beginning. This is how I started off. So they began to cry and they pleaded to Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala, whatever it was, but this is the man that brought us to you, Allah Ta'ala. He is the one that has given us the introduction. He is the one that has given us the lead. Oh Allah Ta'ala, like you favored us, because of this man here, oh Allah Ta'ala, you favor him. And really, Allah Ta'ala's favor, and he surpassed everybody else. So, khuda ke khazana mein kya kami hai? Koi poochne wala to ho. Is there any deficiency in the treasures of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala? There must be someone that's asking Allah Ta'ala, begging of Allah Ta'ala, with that sincerity, with that, Allah Ta'ala wants that. I'll come back to that Sayyid Sabrahman's incident. But as the thoughts are running in my mind, I will just speak freely with the thoughts that are running in my mind. Yahya ibn Aktham rahmatullah alayhi is the ustad, is the teacher of Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi. Now you can imagine Imam Bukhari sahab rahmatullah alayhi, how great a person he is. What a great person he is, all of us, Amirul Mu'mineen fil Hadith. Everybody says that. He's the greatest authority in Hadith, right? So his ustad himself, what a great personality he must be. Right? So his ustad passed away, Yahya ibn Aktham passed away. In the grave, he's being interrogated. Ji budde, tum kya le aaye? Old man, what you brought? When Allah Ta'ala wants to bless you, then he will prompt you the answers as well. He wants to bless you, then he'll prompt you the answers as well. One beggar passed away. And he's interrogated in the grave. Tum kya le aaye? What did you bring for us? So his answer was, you know, my whole life I did begging. Badshah ke yahan bhi pucha jata hai ki tum kya le aaye? I asked my whole life. Does the king also ask what I brought? The king says, what I have to offer, this on account of that Allah Ta'ala forgave. That was a reflection of what was in his heart. He was really humble. And that humility, it featured at that point. At that point it featured. It wasn't that it was a luck, it was a jackpot, no. Sometimes you think, you know, Kabar, Jannat and all is a jackpot. Nauzubillah, this is a total misconcept. Absolute fallacy. That we feel that Jannat, Jahannam is a jackpot. No, it's wrong, absolutely wrong. What we are saying, that Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi given all the fazail, the whole kitab, fazail, amal, that was useless, Nauzubillah. That's what we are referring, that's what we are alluding. So why did Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi show so much of fazail and virtue of deeds when it was a jackpot? No. You will do it, inshallah, Allah will bring you up there. We don't consider it just to be a luck. Just a luck and you'll reach up there. No, it's not like that. You will work, you will strive with sincerity and it will come up. But in this whole equation, what is liked most by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is this fana'iyat. And when you say fana'iyat, in our language, simple language, total submission, absolute submission. I'll come to this inshallah again if there's time. Total, absolute submission. And nothing from yourself. Whatever Allah Ta'ala desires, whatever He wants, and you want that to happen. You prefer that. Allah Ta'ala wants it to happen, let it happen. So absolute submission. One is submission against every haram. You submitted yourself against every haram. Into every act of obedience, you have surrendered yourself. Though some things doesn't even appeal to you. But when it is the command of Allah Ta'ala, you just submitted. You just gave yourself up. So this Yahya ibn Aksam, he's in the qabr, and they ask him, Budde tum kya le aaye? So he is absolutely silent. تم خاموش کیوں ہو؟ Why are you silent? I'm speaking to you. Why are you silent? He said, oh, I'm thinking of one hadith. What hadith are you thinking of? So one hadith that this person narrated this hadith to me. حَدَّثَنَا فُلَانٌ. And who narrated it to you? So and so narrated to him. And so on. And then it comes to Rasulullah SAW. And who brought it to Rasulullah SAW? Was the Jibreel alayhi salam. And who brought it to Jibreel alayhi salam? Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala given it to the Jibreel alayhi salam. And what was the essence of the hadith? إِنَّ اللَّهَ لَيَسْتَحِي مِنَ الزِّشَّيْبَةِ الْمُؤْمِنِ. Allah ta'ala feels ashamed of a grey-haired Muslim. Allah ta'ala feels ashamed. He feels ashamed of a grey-haired Muslim. It's a small digression here. Digression. One person went to the barber and he says, yeah, Sufed baal zara chun chun karke nikal do. You know, I'm looking old now. Wife is a little bit young. So just pull out the white hair. So the barber says, all right, what I'll do? He shaved his entire beard. I said, mujhe itna fursat nahi. I don't have so much of time. You can pluck it yourself. Shave the whole beard. You pluck the white hair out yourself. So he says that I have heard this hadith. This hadith is from Jibreel salam, from Nabi salam, and Nabi salam is reporting from Jibreel, and Jibreel salam is reporting from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That Allah ta'ala feels ashamed of a grey-haired, white-haired Muslim. So the reply comes from Allah ta'ala that your ustad said the truth, and his ustad said the truth, and that sahabi that reported he said the truth, and Nabi salam said the truth, and Jibreel salam said the truth, and وَمَنْ أَصْدَقُ مِنَ اللَّهِ قِيلًا. Can there be anybody greater, more honest, more truthful than Allah ta'ala? So just on account of that, I have forgiven you today. Go. What Allah Pak is telling him, it's a little bit of a crude example, but those people that are married, they understand this, you know. To go through that experience, you understand it, you know. Married or those that are just proposing, that proposal just went through, but they understand it. When the proposal comes with a little bit of resistance, it is sweeter, isn't it? Or, you call the wife to the bedroom, right? And she says, hey, I'm busy with the stove. And she comes, but with a little bit of resistance, she comes. Hey, I'm busy now, I'm not feeling too well. What are you troubling now? So that little bit of resistance brings additional enjoyment. If she had complied straight away, it wouldn't have brought that type of excitement. But a little bit of resistance brings a little bit of more enjoyment. Exactly the same. That you, in a little bit of that fear, in the ghabrat, you know, the state of ghabrat. I mean, after the state of ghabrat, Allah says, alright, I open up the doors of Jannat for you. What's the level of excitement? It's different. You can't go to a different level. And had it opened up straight to you, you wouldn't have appreciated to that level. It's your own psychology Allah is playing with you. Your own psychology. It's how your brains work. So what Allah likes to see is this heart and the level of submission, really. Really, when I look at it, this whole story of tasawuf is submission, the whole thing. Ibrahim alayhi salam at the end, وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ إِسْقَالَ لَهُ رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. Total submission. Allah is telling him, in spite of him being the Nabi, and about the greatest Nabi after Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, right? But Allah is commanding him, رَبُّهُ أَسْلِمْ. And he's also saying, رَبَّنَا وَجْعَلْنَا مُسْلِمَيْنِ لَكَ. Total submission. Our hearts, our souls, our physical selves, our spiritual selves, let us be in total state of submission. Absolute submission. Allah Pak wants it. Let it happen. Nabi Salaam wants it. Let it happen. Allah Pak wants it like this. أُرِيدُ وِسَالَهُ وَيُرِيدُ هَجْرِي فَأُوْتِرُ مَا يُرِيدُ لِمَا أُرِيدُ. My beloved ones, I want to join up with the beloved. But the beloved want a little bit of a separation. So I will prefer the preference of the beloved to my preference. It's great. But that comes with total submission. So we're talking about Sayyid Ahmad Rifai. I'll just mention that incident and end it up. Time is already up now. Okay. So Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi, murid asks him, what's your position? So he says, Allah Ta'ala had offered different positions to the awliya that were around, whichever awliya, and even whichever alam they were in, whichever state they were in, but he offered them positions. So he wanted something, Allah Ta'ala gave it to him. He wanted something, Allah Ta'ala gave him a position. He wanted some position, Allah Ta'ala gave it to him. When it came to my turn, Allah Ta'ala asked, what do you want? So I said, Uridu an la urid. وأختار أن لا أختار. فأعطاني الله ما لا عين رأت ولا أذن سمعت. When it came to my turn, I said, Allah, Allah, you make the selection. I don't want to make the selection myself. I don't know what's there, what's not there. What's good, what's not good, I don't know. My knowledge is not comprehensive. What is my knowledge? Peanut, what is a peanut to an ocean? Allah, you are an ocean. An ocean is too small for you as well. You are like that. So I have got this absolutely no comparison between my knowledge, my understanding, and your knowledge. So Allah Ta'ala, I leave this, I assign this entirely to you. I assign this totally to you. Allah Ta'ala, you make the decision. When I assigned it totally to Allah Subhanahu Wa Ta'ala, I think the kitab, rahmatullahi, tafweez, same thing, this is the same topic. But I assigned it to you entirely, Allah Ta'ala, I give it to you entirely. You make the decision. So Allah Ta'ala granted me what He hadn't given anybody in that zamana. In that zamana, what He had given the awliya, He had given me something far greater than what He had given the awliya of that time. This was Sayyid Ahmad Rifai, rahmatullahi. And this whole thing came on account of absolute, total submission. Whether I understand it, I don't understand it. It's the hukam of Allah Ta'ala. It is the mansha and the desire of my elders. Let me go with it. I won't use my brains. I won't use my intellect. Where we are going wrong today, brothers, let me tell you very plainly, is we employ our reasoning to the reasoning of our elders. That's the bottom line, that we allow our reasoning to come against the reasoning of our elders. Let them make the decision. We understand it, we don't understand it. Maybe sometimes it doesn't work out, right? But we have got their blessings. Can I say one hadith at the end of this whole thing? I'm feeling very guilty, it's already 8:32 here. But if they allow me, I would say this hadith. Rasulullah had come to Medina Munawara, right? And the Ansaris had orchards, date orchards. And when they were doing cross-pollination, ta'birun nakhl, they were doing this. So Rasulullah asked them to leave it out. Perhaps he felt that this was something to do with superstition, like a superstitious thing, like how a child, a small child, is, for him to be safe from sicknesses, put on black bead here. So this was superstition. So Nabi Sallam felt that this is superstition, just leave it out. So the next year they came up to Nabi Sallam and told him, this year we had a very, very weak crop. So Nabi Sallam explained to them, Antum a'lamu bi umuri dunyakum. In running your dunyawi affairs, what type of structures you need, you know better about it. Do it like this, open the shop here, open the shop there, that you will know better. But when it is a matter related to deen, you come and ask me. Right. Now when you analyze this hadith, what do you understand? You understand that the Sahaba-i-Kiram submitted their intelligence, absolute intelligence, right? On account of them submitting their intelligence, for that year they lost out, right? Financially it was a loss. But did they gain and secure the dua of Nabi Sam or not? Ask yourself. Had they not given in to the submission of Nabi Sam, would they have gained the dua of Nabi Sam? They would have never gained it. Here they may have lost out. Materially they may have lost out. But what they gained was Nabi Sam's pleasure, his muhabbat. You can see my sahaba kiram, such a great financial loss. They can sustain it. But they can't sustain an injury or a hurt, an injury to my heart. So I'll definitely make dua for them. Who knows? Maybe Allah Ta'ala gave them double the next year. Just on account of the dua of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. Allah Ta'ala grant us all tawfiq. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. As-salatu was-salamu ala Rasulil Kareem. Wa alihi wa ashabi ajma'in. Rabbana zalamna anfusana. Wa illam taghfir lana wa tarhamna lanakunanna minal khasirin. Allahumma atina fi dunya hasana. Fi al-akhirati hasana. Wa qina azab al-nar. Rabbana taqabbal minna innaka anta as-sami'ul alim. تب علينا إنك أنت التواب الرحيم صلى الله تعالى على خير خلقه محمد وآله وأصحابه أجمعين.